rose to the top was Common Core state standards and Utah Core standards. And so specifically, what would you like to see around those discussions?
The professional development.
Yeah, I think that's a big issue. I agree as well.
And I think in graduation rates that professional development also needs to be, you know, a topic in that. Okay, so under Common Core professional development.
I was curious, is there a fair number or appreciable number of one-time expenses, Janet, with the switch to the Common Core for new materials? And, I mean, there's probably expenses for teacher professional development. That costs money. And then are, for example, we having to replace textbooks earlier or something like that? I didn't know. I'm not saying we shouldn't spend the money. I just didn't know if there was sort of one-time expenditures for that switch. Well, that would be spread over time as we make the switch.
Well, there is professional development that was negotiated for the teachers, and so we are addressing some of those issues. And as Barb has made requests for additional textbooks, we've tried to help her with that with one-time funds as well. But I'm sure there's going to be additional needs as more books become available, because that has been part of the issue, is
that
the availability
no
of books that address the
And I think
core.
When you're looking at the money, Doug, if you, is that at this high school food,
Say that one more time, Rosemary. What did you say?
Or something, just
barely.
Oh,
yeah.
In the room?
It's like, in what?
Right over here.
There was a little beaver that was out there earlier.
Anyway, just went in the corner.
That's funny.
Anyway, you know, I think you need to look at the copying that is being done and the cost of the copying at the elementary and high school level because of the Common Core and the lack of books. I mean, my understanding is, from teachers at least, that they are making so many freaking copies that it is astronomical.
Well, I
and
mean,
that, I think, is
if
a
we
got to
do it,
cost.
We
got to
do it. But
well,
we just got to realize
it's a huge cost, and I don't know if they have it. I mean, I don't know.
And if the schools need a little more money because of that, that's something we need to know during budget.
It's not just books; it's copying. They are copying their brains out because they have.
So again, you know, Rosemary, I see that, you know, as we're talking about, you know, Common Core professional development textbooks, that's that piece of talking about the money. There goes your little animal right out the door.
That's better
we're talking
than
about money and budget. You know, how are we doing that? Okay, what else about Common Core?
Well, one thing I would like to see is there a way at the high school level, at least in the math program, that just as we did a 2-year algebra 1, we could maybe do a 2-year math 9 or whatever it is, or somehow, because that's
school 1.
Because we haven't, my understanding is we have a large failure rate.
Common Core High School 1, secondary 1, Math 1 and 9,
or whatever it's called. Because the kids, we made it possible for the ninth grade, for Algebra 1 years ago, to do 2 years so that the kids could pass and graduate. And in the ninth grade, it's a 1-year class. And they
She's just suggesting there used to be a 2-year Algebra 1.
Oh.
Course.
And so 2-year math courses.
Yeah, like a ninth grade math, whatever.
You
should just explain, and I've heard this from other people, not just Rosemary, that there's a lot of concern about the failure rate.
Yeah, it's pretty big.
In the Common Core Math 1. And I don't know, I haven't seen the numbers. I asked Barb that question. And she did not actually know whether the failure rate was higher than it had been. But I think it's important to recognize that. And there's also a lot of discussion about how you remediate, how you make up credit if credit is not earned the first time around. What resources do we have for that?
Right.
And does it make any sense to move kids on to the next level
when they fail math?
Failed, you
probably
know, either
not.
Algebra 1.
And they're being, they have to right now. That has been the mandate.
That's true.
I think you have to move on if you fail.
Ask your kids. Yeah, absolutely.
Why don't you share?
Yeah.
I didn't think that was the rule.
Yes, it is.
So one of the dilemmas that relates to dropout and graduation rate is if you fail a class, how do you make that up? And do you have the ability to retake the class? Or do you have to find an alternative setting to take that class? And those differences have different outcomes for kids. So in most of the core classes, you can retake the same class in a different semester and or different year. There's a point at which, if you're so far behind, that becomes nigh to impossible in the schedule, and so now you're trying to look at alternative ways to make up credit while you're also taking credit. But one of the big dilemmas in math in particular is that we don't spend enough time with kids who aren't yet competent in some of the fundamental concepts of math. And there's some great research in the KIPP schools that they've been able to get virtually all of their kids to college level math competency, but they spend an additional, I don't know, 4 to 8 hours a week on math, depending on the kid who's struggling, what they're doing. So they're structured in a different way. So no, you aren't excluded from retaking a class, but depending upon which class, how old you are, what your other course choices are, that maybe becomes less, there might be fewer choices based on the history that's there.
I think it's important, though, because I'm not clear on this. Because I've heard the same thing that Rosemary's describing, that kids are being told you can't retake the class, you have to go on to the next level.
That has been what
and I don't. Been. I just need to. I think we just need to have clarity about that.
Yeah.
And what are the options for kids? Is it? I mean, I agree that it makes no sense to retake the same class over and over again and never earn credit, because that just increases the child's sense of
failure.
But there's got to be a way to identify the kids who were genuinely struggling, separate them from the kids who've just decided to check out, and figure out how to meet the needs of the kids who were genuinely struggling while continuing to work with the ones who decided to check out. And those kids, sometimes kids who fail a quarter or a semester,
right.
they can make it up
right.
pretty readily because they've just had a bad relationship with a teacher or a bad semester or something.
Right.
But there are kids who can't do that. So how do you separate and give them pathways
well,
that make
or,
sense?
Or, you know, like I said, we did that 2-year ninth grade algebra, which to me was a great solution. I mean, we had hundreds of kids in that. And it was very successful.
So I think what I'm thinking you're saying is that, you know, what are those next steps? So we want to know a little bit more about can they retake classes, how, you know, is moving on the only option, just a little bit more information. Mikhail and I were talking a little bit about Common Core and just how do you talk about it with your parents? Do you have good talking points? Do you understand the flow? You know, that was something else that we thought would be important to include in this discussion. Does everyone agree with that?
Yes.
So
well, and I think the teachers, I think the schools have to do a better job of communicating it. Because I think there's a lot of anxiety both about the kids starting in ninth grade who are not prepared and are going to fail it, and how do they get to the next level, and the kids that are like my kids were, that they took, you know, calculus as juniors, and now they're being told they can't do that anymore, or it's much harder to do it. You're going to have to double up in a math class in order
to
do that.
Much harder to get the count.
And so that's, I sense there's a little give in that, and it will, as it develops, you'll find both outside of the school system and I hope within the school system, you'll find ways to allow kids to accelerate to their ability level. But we haven't done a great job of communicating those pathways yet.
No, and one of the things that's currently being tried to Rosemary's example is the student that's struggling in that Common Core 1 being then in 2 math classes
the following
year, so that their Common Core 2 is linked with make sure you get the missing pieces of Common Core 1 concurrently so that they don't get stuck, but they continue to move on. And we seem to be having some success with that, but that won't work for all kids, so we'll need
And I think schools, I mean, I'd like to know, are they having success?
That's the claim.
I think at SLCSE they are having success with Math Lab, so that kids are, as freshmen, asked to take 2 math classes.
Right.
But if they feel like they, you know, the teachers and the assessments indicate that they need to. And I know that other schools do that, but I don't know how successful it is.
SLCSE is a whole different world. I mean,
Yeah. All right, anything else you want to add to
Common West Core? West has a math lab class for ninth
yes,
graders.
Yes, Tiffany.
So, again, so I'm going to go back to middle schools, and why are we not preparing the students better in middle school to take these Common Core classes in high school?
So middle school,
and I hate to dump a bunch onto middle schools, but I...
Well, they dump on the elementary, don't worry.
Oh, okay.
We went dump down it.
We dump down, it's normal? All right.
We did go through we played the low one before.
We went through.
Okay.
The
all right, no, this is good. Susan, did
really
you have your hand up?
Okay. Changes,
all right, so with the Common Core, Mikhail, was there anything that you and I talked about that we missed? Because we've had a lot of discussions with the legislature.
Well, I really love the direction you're talking. Because Christy and I were dealing with some of the crazy backwards sliding on Common Core and the commitment that across the country we're having communities that are saying, no, we don't want our kids to be exposed to the Common Core. State Board's been struggling with incredible pressure on that issue, as Christina does. But we had thought that part of what you're looking for were some additional bullet points to be able to talk to the public about Common Core, and I'm still real comfortable with this one that I gave you a few months back that came from Education First, because they're nonpartisan, they're Republican-centered group with Nolan Karras and Jessely Anderson, and they've taken simple Q&As to do a one-page deal. I'm reluctant to create a district Common Core document because I think that feeds into some of the craziness of the conspiracy.
And I agree. I think that this is a good way for us to stick with this.
And I think if we have more professional development, especially for the elementary teachers, because they are some
down.
Of them are really
should be all levels.
But I agree. But I think elementary is having a
But I do think that some of that, I mean, I don't, I'm not quite sure I follow you on the conspiracy line, but I do think that there's a...
We don't follow it either.
No, but I mean, if you have, I'm just saying I'm not sure I follow Mikhail's statement, but I think there is a, it's good to use these common materials created by Education First, but if you are getting the message at the schools... That's a little different than that, and I think this idea of retaking the classes is right on point here.
Yeah.
That is, either the Common Core is more demands more of students, or it doesn't. And this document says it demands more of students. But then, if it demands more of students, how is it that you can say, well, if you fail Common Core 1, then you go on to Common Core 2? I mean, there's just kind of a disconnect there. So we have to really be clear in articulating how we're going to get our students up to the standards that are articulated in the Common Core, even if it takes them longer or requires more hours. Or
requires more teachers.
That doesn't have a... I don't see how that feeds into a conspiracy theory. That's just, we approve of these standards, we accept them, we want our students to meet them, and here's what we're trying to do.
I guess all I'm trying to say, Heather, is that since the Common Core state standards do have their own website, their own Q&A, State Board has their own Q&A, that as we create additional Q&As, what is happening in other parts of the state and not for us is the local name on the national document keeps the rhetoric going that this is some conspiracy to inculcate kids in a particular way, which has nothing to do with English, language, arts, and math. It's way out there. I mean,
but I think, I guess I'm saying, Mikhail, the only way to combat that is to just be really clear about what we're actually trying to do.
And the questions that have surfaced that I've heard from parents the last 6 months are exactly what you're talking about, which is they don't understand what the Common Core was supposed to do. They don't know how it relates to the curriculum, but they know if they have a 5th through 8th grade teacher that's trying to teach math that the teacher's dying with lack of material support and resources.
Right.
And
yep.
So it must be bad.
Right.
And so the parent tunes into that must be bad because my teacher's frustrated, but the teacher's frustration isn't about the standard. It's about all the pieces that are missing along the way to deliver it to kids.
So I think what, well, sorry, Michael.
Go ahead.
So before, I think what I'm hearing everyone say about this is that, you know, I think it's important that we know what's being said at the local site and how that affects our students' success, so that we make sure that the information that they're getting, that the parents are getting, that the students are getting, it has a common thread, and that there's not a lot of myths out there, or, you know, if there's flexibility built in, then what is that flexibility? Let me go to Michael first and then Rosemary.
So just along the lines of clarifying, I get a lot of questions about this, not from my neighborhood by any means, but Heather, when you say that, and I think I've asked this before, let me make sure I'm still on the right track, when you said we approve this, I'm telling people this is not a local school board decision, that this decision was made on the state level, state school board, and that we implement it, right? And is that accurate?
Well, so
there's nothing...
I was speaking personally. I think the Common Core standards are a good thing.
Right.
Personally.
Okay.
And I think our board generally, in our discussions, has agreed with mm-hmm. that. So yes, we do have to implement it. Some of the implementation choices that we made were different than
right.
the choices that other districts in the state made, however. So
certain
things are mandated, and there is still room for us to do implementation.
Okay.
Things like, for example, the early implementation of the Common Core
right.
standards at the middle school.
Right.
Which other districts in the state did not do as early as, so we're actually ahead of the game
okay.
in a lot of ways.
But there was never any this board and this district never approved it because it was mandate to some degree from the state, right? I mean, there
yes,
was...
Yes,
okay.
that is correct, although we did not, at least in our discussions on the board, we didn't say, oh, damn it, we have to implement the Common Core. We
mm-hmm.
were actually glad about
okay.
that.
All right,
that
I
was
just
like,
yes, sure
there
that
was
our
consensus
discussion.
That we agreed
yeah.
with what... You know, the state.
But if you don't agree, are there districts that don't agree and they're doing something they can
personally
do?
In other states? I'm sure.
Oh, not
there are.
But not in our state.
In our state, I don't know. Have you heard that? I haven't heard that from school board members.
To find district for
yeah. yeah.
there, I'm not aware of mm-hmm. of superintendents or board leadership that believes the standards are the wrong
okay.
direction.
Right.
There are. Both superintendents and board leaders that are really frustrated with trying to answer these questions about the difference between a standard and the curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a standard, and now you have curriculum choices. And so local districts have some choices. And what often then surfaces
mm-hmm.
in the rhetoric that isn't helpful is someone will pick out a sentence in a piece of curriculum that they think is troubling,
mm-hmm.
either because of the values that it states or the confusion that's there, and then they paint with a broad brush
right,
that
right.
that's the Common Core
that's
standard.
That's a conspiracy theory. Right.
It wasn't the standard.
Right.
It was somebody's example of a curriculum
right.
item or objective.
Okay.
So there's lots of frustration on that side.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So I think this is a good list for us. I think built in.